is the Sum of You Show. My name is Alisa.
Hey, my name is Liz. I don't know if this is on my end, but you were cutting out, so I didn't quite hear the whole intro, but it could be on my end. Hi, darling.
Hey. It could be my phone.
It could be so many things. Anyway, how are you, my love?
I'm okay. I'm tired, but I'm okay.
Yeah. Girl. And happy past Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Tuesday, and for mothers that are here or here in spirit, or people who are mothers to pets, parents to pets, mothering to our friends, we all have the mother and the father inside of us. So however that is manifested in your life, we acknowledge you. And I would just say this very briefly, that I just thought, oh, this is going to be the saddest Mother's Day of all. And I'm happy to say that I was actually happy on Mother's Day, and the last time I felt that joyful was when you guys were visiting me in,
aww.
When was that? Was that January? I don't even remember. February?
March. March.
Was it March? Oh, look at that. See? Mm-hmm. My brain. March. And, God, it seems so much longer than that. It's weird. Yeah, so that was just wonderful, that through such a challenging time to just have a breather for 24 hours and then, you know, back
nice.
To whatever. Yeah, and because my, again, it's 2 steps forward, 10 steps back, but according to Reverend Adam, that's going to be 10 steps forward, 10 steps forward, 10 steps forward, 10 steps forward. So we'll see.
Mm.
Yes, so... he's picking up that things, you know, it's a process, but in the big picture, that things will ultimately, we're shifting in the right direction. And I spoke to my mother over a week ago, and I said, I'm going to call you on Mother's Day, but I need a week. I can't keep calling you crying. I can't keep feeling this enormous despair. I said, I got to turn this boat around. And I feel like there's an ember of light. It's like when you see the lighthouse, but it's just like a pinhole. And the ember of light,
mm-hmm.
and the boat is on course. But 2 weeks ago, Saturday, or I don't even remember, or less than that, my youngest son came home, and he seemed upset, and he said, oh, I'm so sick of getting my ass kicked. And I wanted to say, well, stop running the streets when you're not supposed to. Don't be what you're not supposed to be, and that's not going to happen. But I kept my mouth shut. And he said, I want to learn how to box. So mm-hmm. I jumped on that, and I discussed it, that we had the interview and all of that. Well, he had his first day at, and I know nothing about boxing, but oh, we're becoming a boxing family, at the world-famous Gleason's Gym, which apparently I took a picture I posted on Instagram yesterday of a – it's framed now, but it's a bunch of boxers, famous boxers, had signed this wall, but they framed it, and Muhammad Ali was right in the center, so I took a picture of his signature.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's just a whole other world. It just is this whole culture, really. And there's
mm-hmm.
no gray. Either you're obsessed with it or you don't know what they're doing. I'm on the I don't know what they're doing. So he had his orientation on Saturday. And because I pulled him out of his school and figuring out a plan for his education, it might be a remedial online school, I don't know, but until we figure out what's going on, he's to be there 6 days a week. That's how this
wow.
program doesn't mess around. And it includes tutoring, and it's mentorship, tutoring, responsibility. We're going to the fights on Friday. Can you freaking believe it? We're going to the fights on Friday. Okay, fine. Going to the fight.
Wow.
So one of the mentors there won the Golden Gloves, and mm-hmm. Friday is his first professional fight. So, you know, hopefully that will be my
wow.
first.
Wow, that's exciting kind of for him. Yeah.
Exciting for somebody. Those tickets are expensive too. I'm like, what is this, a Broadway show? Anyway, whatever. I'm not saying nothing. Okay, whatever. Okay, it's for a good cause. Okay. And then Thursday night, we're going to their fundraiser. And, you know, it's, I guess, the people like, oh, let's contribute because we feel guilty about whatever. So people of privilege. And they'll see the kids. My son will be one of the kids. And, you know, at least I'm not paying for it. But what's great is just to be a fly in the wall to see sort of like, oh, let's make a difference, okay, for the youth. But
mm-hmm.
I'm happy that,
mm-hmm.
you know, let my son be part of the youth. That's good. And it's wonderful for people privileged to contribute because it's completely funded by donations, and it's a miracle. If he didn't say, I want to learn how to box, I would have been on the iPad for hours looking for, okay, what can I, okay, he actually said that he's interested in something. Okay, what do we do with this? Yeah, and I emailed them late at night. They emailed me the same night. I mean, it was boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
They were up, huh?
I guess so, and because I do see a glimmer of light, I was so happy on Mother's Day. I was just happy. So that was a pleasant surprise. So we'll see what happens. But as long as today is a little bit brighter than yesterday, which is why the end of the show is to brighter days ahead, that's all we can do, really.
Mm-hmm.
Be pointed in that direction. And I saw some lovely pictures of Anna and her sisters and family, and you, and pictures of your mom, and I didn't
uh-huh.
realize our moms are the same age. Is that funny? I did not
your
realize
mom was
that.
Born in, your mom was born in
34.
Well, my mom and your mom.
Yeah.
My mom and your mom are the same age. No, your mom's older.
What did I think? She's 83. No.
No, my mom just turned 80.
Who's 83? I'm reading it wrong.
I have no idea.
Oh, my
no
God.
Idea.
I was like, oh, they're the same age. See, my brain. Wow. I said, oh, my God, they're the same age. Okay, that three looked like, that zero looked like a three to me. Wow. No, but that's the whole thing. You know, when you get that sense of relief, so you're not totally in flight or fight, then you start to,
mm-hmm.
then you start to feel things. Then all of a sudden, like the person that ran the marathon, if they, you know, don't get enough rest, they might fall out of the bed or not stand, you know what I mean? Like they might collapse or,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So I have to be so, so, so mindful and hyper aware. And, because there's so much hypersensitivity with everything, just weathering this, the storm, the fact that I'm not drinking at 8 o'clock in the morning, miraculous. The fact that I'm not addicted to any drugs, miraculous. The fact that I haven't really gained weight, miraculous. The fact that I'm not keeping it together, miraculous. Miraculous. But the mind, ooh, there's a little damage. I have to say, there's a little damage. Yeah. So meditation has really helped. But the anxiety, and I think people who have anxiety, they'll understand that it's so insidious that you forget that you have it until something triggers it that could be like a pencil eraser. Ah, it could be any random, a paperclip, any random thing, a box of tissues, oh my God, any random thing could just trigger you, and then all of a sudden you can't breathe. Like, oh my God.
Mm.
So that's the thing, that source telling me, okay, take care of yourself. You are not a failure every time your children disagree or whatever. You are not a failure every time you're feeling anxious communicating with your ex, you're not a failure. You're not a terrible person. And maybe you got to lay real low, because to the outside world, what's wrong with her? That reaction is completely irrational. It doesn't make sense. So no wonder people isolate themselves. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, here we are. So were you visiting your mom on Mother's Day?
No, I just put up a picture. I knew I wasn't going to be able to make it home. So,
oh, okay.
Those were pictures from the ones that I posted on Instagram and Facebook were the pictures from when I visited and in Charleston over the holidays, Christmas holidays.
Got it.
And
got it.
So that was, you know, she had me pick all those oranges from her trees.
Oh,
and,
I remember, right? That's so cute.
So that was my reference. It's like a little double thing with the, you know, your favorite fruit. But,
oh, you're funny.
But, yeah.
You're the best fruit ever.
Probably. I said from one of your favorite fruits.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So, I wasn't home, though. So that was, I thought about it, but I think it would be a very, very, very quick trip. I think I'd be even tighter than I am now. Instead, I spent Mother's Day, some friends of mine who I don't get to see very often, they live in a different part of town, and they have a toddler. She's probably older than a toddler now. I don't know how old she is. But very, very cute girl. They invited people to just, you know, whoever could make it to come for a brunch at one of our iconic Jewish places to eat called the Bagel Palace in Delhi. It's around the corner from where we all went to school. So I went there, and man,
they went all out.
They had some really, really good food there. So that was fun. And these were people they were mostly my students. They were like from my fraternity. So they know me as their advisor. And I just got to catch up with four of them, and they had two other friends join us a little bit later on. They were running late. We're like, we can't wait for you guys. Like, we're hungry. We're going to eat. But that was just really cute to hang out with the little baby and just enjoy the day. And then the day before, I had spent time with my Aunt Thelma, and we did a little bit of shopping. She is gearing up for – she bought a couch. That's I don't know if I told you about that. We had gone out shopping. She looks at all the flyers in the mail, and found some place that had furniture for sale. And it's one of those that's in a warehouse. So that's we cut off the middleman, and no overhead, very low overhead, because everything's in a warehouse. So you go to this warehouse, and they've got the couches and everything. So she and I went over there, and I'm leaving it up to her, and she usually likes to ask other people. I'm like, no, you can't, you can't base it on what other people like. It's like, if this is comfortable for you, if it's,
absolutely,
it's got to be for you, because it's your purchase. So, I just what I'm looking at. So she ends up getting a small sectional couch, and I know where we're gonna put it. And it was one of those where you have to decide where you want to put it before you make a purchase. Because if you're thinking it's one thing and it's not, even though you're actually looking at it and you're sitting on it, and then you put it in your house and it's not big enough, then, we got some issues. But they haven't delivered it yet. They have to – she wrote a check. She didn't want to put it on her car. She wrote a check. Although she said – she likes to say, I got cash money, which is not the same thing, but it's a check. So we're waiting for this to be delivered. In the meantime, there's still some things we have to shift around. So I have a ton of books, and she has some books that I think were left over from my uncle, and I don't think she's ready to part with them. But she doesn't really have a lot of books. She has a lot of like knickknacks, just like things that probably need to be put on a shelf.
Yes.
And, so she had gone through all these extra boxes and cleaned them up. And
oh, good.
She really has a ton of stuff. So she was looking at getting some bookcases for combination, you know, for my books and then for her stuff. So we went to Target on Saturday and did a little bit of shopping. And so she bought two like tall bookcases and one horizontal bookcase that you could probably put a TV on, which I think is what her ultimate plan is to move the living room into this new room, into like basically what used to be the dining room, that's going to be the living room. So she's just changing things up. So I have to put it together. She picks out the things that she wants, you know, and we're looking at what's available. And, you know, we had to squeeze them into my car. Thank God I got a CRV now. And we made it fit. And then we went up to another place and bought some clothes, you know, because her birthday is coming up this Saturday.
Aww.
So we went to Kohl's because we got some Kohl's cash. So we went up there and, you know, made some purchases. And I'm like, okay, I guess at some point I'm going to have to get this stuff out. And I don't want to ask her for the help because, you know, one, I don't know how much she can actually help because it actually is pretty heavy. It's easier with two people. And now that she actually is pretty strong, but it's just her stability. And I'm on that hill, you know, on the driveway. So like last thing I need, you know, have my aunt tumble down the driveway. So I move everything into the garage, like baby steps. And I'm tired, and it's hot here. She finally, after I move everything in, and I'm thinking I gotta get one of the not the ceiling fan, but a box fan or something like that. I gotta get one of those in the garage and bring it in my room because it's hot. We have no air circulating in the house. So after I do all that and move the fan into my room, she's like, I think we need to turn on the air conditioning. I'm like, okay. So finally, we turn on the air conditioning. And it's crazy. It's so nice. It's so nice. And then finally, we get to a place where I can take out the stuff and put it together. And it's, you know, just three bookcases, but it's taken me like 3 days to do it. So I'm like, I'm so tired. So I finished up last night. That's pretty much
I'm
what
impressed,
I've done.
Though. You did it.
Amy's like,
boxing.
You got some.
Piece of
you got some bush points. Well, it's not. It actually isn't hard, but they're not. It's not intuitive. It's not. It's not like they're just. It's bulky, so you kind of have to think about where. How do you want to put these together?
What is the possibility? No.
Yeah. What is the possibility of me actually? If I did it the way they have it in these, I'd have to like get a stepladder.
I know. We're short. Yeah. I can't. I feel like I'm drowning. Right.
Yeah. No. It's. So I think I did most of the work on Sunday, and I was just so tired, and I'm getting a little cranky, but at some point, because I finally got the tall bookcase done, the horizontal bookcase took a lot longer, but the tall bookcase, I finally got it done, and I'm tired, I'm sweaty, even though we had the air conditioning running, it's still hot, and then so she looks at it and she's like, I don't think that's what I had ordered. I'm like, what do you mean you didn't order anything? We picked it out from the shelf, you know?
Oh Lord.
She's like, that isn't what we got? I'm like, yeah, that's what we got. That's what you pointed out to. There's
oh,
a picture
girl.
On the box. I was at that feeling of like, what the hell did I just do? Well, we can't take it back. I just put it all together. Can't take it back. So I'm like, what did you think you were going to get? You know, and she was referencing these shelves she has. We have in a front room next to the TV. I'm like, you know, there wasn't anything at Target that looked like that to me.
Oh.
And there wasn't anything that she pointed out that that's what we want to get.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, these fit fine for our books.
Yeah, guess what? We're gonna make it work.
Oh my gosh! So,
You just made it work, right?
Well, yeah.
Of course, I would.
Yeah, like, well, what part? Know. What part of this is what I want? Did you? You know?
Oh, stop! I knew you. Ooh, hashtag snarky realness.
It's not like
I know, but it's funny. I have to laugh because I know you. I have to laugh. Sorry. I have to laugh. It's cute. Teddy Graham, irritation realness. Because Elisa is so cute.
Like,
even when she's like irritated, she's still cute. I mean, she's the cutest. She's the cutest. Because that girl, when she don't see, she get cranky. Okay, when she needs to sit a spell, she either got to eat something or she got to sit a spell or just take a little power nap. She get cranky, but she's very cute. And then it's true. And when you don't see a grown woman. You see like an 8-year-old, like Matilda. That's
right.
She turns into Matilda.
Right.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Or Heloise, pick one. But Eloise, not Heloise. Heloise does the cleaning. Now I'm Heloise. You're Eloise. But oh my God, I could only imagine. So that's funny. So what part if I want this? Funny.
I mean, I'm hoping, you know, the couch shows up and it's exactly what you look for, because I'm like, they're not taking him back. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was really confused. I was about as confused as she was, because I'm just looking at her like, we picked out.
Things
are
deceptive. You look at a picture, you look at it in the lighting of the store, and then it's in your house.
Only
and
so
it's
many
like,
demos. There are only so many floor models that are available at any given time at Target.
Oh my Lord, that's
and
so funny.
Out of all the ones that we looked through, and we looked through all of them, and you know, granted,
oh
some of them were on top, like higher up.
Yeah, you
like,
know what? If that's the one you pick, girl.
And here I am putting it together, slaving away on the weekend. So I'm like, okay. And I'm done. So, yeah, I was definitely getting cranky. And then yesterday, still cranky. And it wasn't her fault. I just have to apologize to her for kind of snapping at her, because she was asking if I was okay. But it's that feeling of, well, I know there's not anything you can do to help.
Oh,
and
I'm right there with you. Yep.
I'm almost done. I'm just frustrated because this should be done by now.
Yep.
And like some of these little screws aren't turning in right, and you know, so it's just me being frustrated. So you hovering over me is not going to help.
It's going to make it worse.
I didn't say all that, but
no,
I was not very pleasant.
Sure. Oh, listen, you and I are the same. It's so funny. We have completely different circumstances, but energetically, we are always so neck and neck. So you know, because you were just at my place, how if we have like a. It's not, I want to call it an incinerator, but it's not. That's an old-fashioned term. But there's a garbage chute. That's the word. There's a garbage chute right down the hall. So I asked my son to, because I'm trying to delegate more responsibility and all that, because I keep telling him, this ain't no vacation. This is not vacation. You're going to be starting some kind of school, some type of way, someplace. This is not vacation, because I have to talk to his therapist and figure out what I'm going to do with this child. I just had to take him out of that environment. There's just too many, just it was just too overcrowded and too many things going on and just not good. So he was taking a really long time, and I'm thinking, okay, it's getting late. I don't need these neighbors to be like, ooh, what is the black boy on our floor doing? Like, I just, I go out to check on him, and I could see that there was something that was very awkwardly shaped in the bag that made it a little bit difficult to push down. So I said, oh, okay, let me help you. And, of course, help. And all of a sudden, the huge garbage bag went down the chute, but it was very sudden. So, like, the metal end of the chute smashed on one of my fingers. And I went, right. Are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Like, and I'm like you, like, give me my bubble of peace and get, nope. Let me look at your finger. And I turned into an animal. Leave me alone. Like, just,
yep.
Just, what are you going to
I'm
do?
I'm pretty sure
what,
I said
what?
That last night.
I said, leave me, yeah. You see, isn't that funny? It's always like within a 24-hour period or at the same time, because this was this yesterday for you?
Last night, yeah.
Yeah, me too, last night. This happens with us all the time. It's hysterical and completely different circumstances, but just energetically, oh, no. I just felt like don't mess with my personal space. Don't mess with my personal space. You're too close. Stop asking me to show you my finger. You know, I'm not going to hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, just step away. There's nothing to see here. Step away. Step away. I get that. And, yeah, I feel like I need to apologize. I get it. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, tired. So, yeah.
Tired, cranky. Leave me alone.
Tired, cranky, yeah.
We get all like, so ooh. I get the same way.
It definitely played on my nerves, you know. It's just a combination of things.
Sure.
Like these shelves look great. I think we're going to be fine. You know, we still have a lot of work to do to rearrange everything,
right.
but you know, just yeah. I think about. I know we have a caller here.
Okay.
My hand raised. So I'll get to you in a moment, but I just think about. I think about anybody who has to put stuff together, like whoever, sometimes in a relationship, there's someone who's designated, you know, handy person.
Oh, yeah. They don't like it.
And I wonder, because there's some people who actually love to do that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess whoever has that person as a partner must be feel very lucky, you know?
You know what? Hold on to them. Work it out. Work.
Because.
Don't get rid of them. Work it out. Yeah.
I'm not always going to be that person.
No.
And I think it just depends on the situation, but I think in this situation,
it just was too much.
Right.
It was too much. You were tired. It was over. I mean, literally overwhelming. I mean, you're small. So you're lugging around in these big, please. No. And I'm very blessed that I have a few handy people in rotation. Like, I'll make you lunch.
Yeah.
Like, cause I'm so sure, even if I step on a stepladder, I can't change a freaking light bulb without feeling like so scared. So, yeah, thank God for tall, handy people who like to decorate. So, thank God.
Right.
Thank God.
Or
girls that love Home Depot. Like, I'm covered, like, on either side. On either side. I got the boys on one side, I got the girls on the other, and the confused right in the middle, and I'm good. So, yeah. We're all covered. It takes a village to get my apartment together.
It takes a village.
It takes
exactly.
a village people
exactly.
to raise a child. Anyway,
it takes
a village people. In my house, it's a village. Trust me. The Rainbow Coalition is alive and well, helping me raise the babies.
Oh, God, that's too funny. That's too funny. Oh, our caller dropped, so I guess I'll wait for that caller
to come
back in.
Oh, Lord, we're having too much fun having that dream.
Darn.
Sorry,
okay.
Caller.
We'll
take your call now.
I know, she called now. Where were you like two shows ago?
Right when I didn't want to talk.
But I am excited because I get to change out some really, really old. Like, these are some bookcases I had from maybe like 20 years. Some like old college dorm looking, you know, white.
Oh, girl. Mm-hmm.
Small bookshelves that have probably seen the last days.
You're going to get rid of them? You're going to donate them?
I don't
or use them for something else.
I could probably use them for something else.
That's good. I love repurposing.
We have a lot of stuff to get rid of still, but I'm not putting all my books on these shelves yet because I know we're gonna have to move them around, and I just don't know what she wants to do yet. So I just don't.
Right.
I want it to keep them as light as possible, movable as possible.
Yeah,
and then you know let her figure out where she wants to put everything.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And for you. You're kind of in flux. So,
yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see how that lands for you. And, you know, support her, what she needs to do. And interesting
mm-hmm.
what, if you're going to throw out a bunch of things or feel like, okay, I want to just energetically lighten my load because I know I'm not going to be here forever. Or, I don't know. It's you're at a crossroads. Interesting.
Story of my life. Story of my life.
I know. Child. I hear that. So did our caller come back?
Not yet.
Come back,
not
little
yet.
Caller. Come back. Okay. I'm out of my, seriously, clinically, like, just don't even evaluate me, people, because they'll be like, you need a long rest. So your children will be fine.
Has he been? Well, he didn't go. He didn't. He just sort of like laid low this past week until Saturday, and then so today, is he having to start?
He started yesterday.
Going to.
So he went Saturday.
Started yesterday.
He went yesterday. No, he went Saturday. He went yesterday. But, like, there, it's a cross between boxing, scared straight, tutoring, and being goofy. Like, it's this really crazy, dysfunctional kind of family type of vibe, but it works. And you have people from all walks of life. And what's great, what I love, it's that's a place where you feel complete inclusion. That's a place you don't really feel any racism. And it's like a racism-free zone. It's like, oh, my God, this is possible. This is – you could actually – yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You'll have anybody from ex-convicts that are now trainers to Usher working out because he has a concert tour. And – boxing is like no frills, no nonsense, and the real deal is somebody getting ready for a movie. And then, oh, what's so crazy? So I'm in the office. I'm telling Jeremiah, it's like, I'm going to teach you how to get here to him because I cannot be hanging out in no boxing gym. Like, what the hell? So but it's the first day, so I got you. But he's going to go by himself today. I will pop in every once in a while, but it's like, do your thing over there. And it's in a really beautiful part of Brooklyn. It's such a beautiful part of Brooklyn that you still feel like you are in an extension of the city because you could see the skyline and it's right by the it's right by the Manhattan Bridge. It's right there. It's beautiful. I mean, they filmed lots of things. You could just tell, like, it's tourist central. So even the tourists go up. It's a tourist spot. Even the tourists from all over the world are there all day, in and out, taking pictures, buying shirts, doing this, that, you know. And they're like, oh, we love tourists. So it's just very, very open, fluid type of environment. So I'm hanging out in the office yesterday, and I keep hearing these things that sound like these light sonic booms, like boom, and then every couple, you know, seconds or minutes, boom. I'm like, what the hell? Well, apparently, they do training for WWE, I think, World Wrestling, whatever.
Yeah.
World Wrestling.
Yeah,
so, okay, whatever the hell that is. Okay, so they do training for that, and the Wrestling Federation scouts for potential wrestlers at this gym.
Wow.
So they had – it's like the craziest thing in the world to watch them training for that. Because I'm like, okay, they must have broken so many – like, I don't know – like, it looks so real. I know it's fake, but it's not. I don't know how they do it, but I was, like, up close. And I don't like boxing, wrestling. I don't like any of this. They hurt each other. Oh, but whatever. But I'm looking, and I'm like, you know what? This is an art. This is amazing. And they had this, and I was laughing so hard. I was thinking of you guys because there's this one. You know, every wrestler has, like, a character. You know, you have The Rock. You have
– yeah.
Hulk Hogan, whatever, right? So there was this, I don't know what his character's name is, but they pointed him out to me because he has to wrestle in his cowboy boots.
Wow.
Because whatever Bubba, I don't know what his name is, I'll just call him Bubba for now, but whatever his character is, like his persona, so he's in all his wrestling gear, but you look at his feet, I'm like, why is Homeboy wearing cowboy boots? He has to train in his booth. Crazy. So that was weird just to sort of be like backstage, like how that, you know, works in this world that I have like no interest in whatsoever, but you know, keep my son alive. I'll be ringside. Like, okay, how does this work? Yeah. I'll be ringside. Oh my God. Isn't that funny? Like, what is your boots on? These boots are made for wrestling, clearly.
Right.
I don't know. Girl. Yeah. Yeah, but it's
that's
beautiful.
So what's is the schedule going to be like? He doesn't get up really, really early, does he? Or does he
no.
Does this vary? Or?
For now. We're in transition. So for now, cause I pulled him out of school. It was, I think, a week ago today was his last day of school, and he didn't know it because a week ago today he was so disruptive and so disrespectful to one of the female teachers, and I'm like, oh no, nobody talk to anybody like this. That, okay, we're done. We're done. I don't know what we're going to do, but you're not coming back here. You are not to conduct yourself in that way. These teachers are so devoted and so dedicated. It's an overcrowded building with five or six schools, and it's just not an environment for him for right now. He's too easily distracted, and I just need to minimize the risk for drug use and other things. So I have to just nip it in the bud as best as I can. And I'm now looking at options, and I'm going to speak to his therapist tomorrow. But I sent the email last night. I officially withdrew from the school and thanked them and asked what steps I need to take to get his records and all that, because his grades are abysmal. So I want to start him at seventh grade on an online school that's for special, you know, circumstances, or get him evaluated for an IEP, which is for learning disabilities. But he doesn't have, I don't really think it's any of that. It's just what's going to be the right fit. And in the meantime, he's going to the gym every day until we figure out what he's doing. And then every Saturday is mandatory tutoring.
Okay.
And of course, this, you know, the three Asian boxer guys are also the tutors, of course. So thought of you.
Imagine that.
But there's people that are so obsessed with boxing that they volunteer to this program. They're so giving. And they see what I see. They see a kid that's beat down way before their time, that's exhausted by the perpetuation of stereotypes, that it backfires, you know. And I'm like, no. Look, I don't. One day we'll meet your birth family. Don't you want to? They could say like, well, you should have stayed in the Bronx. What did this one do for you? Like, don't you want to see like that you had a shot, right? She didn't do much. You like Spanish food, okay? That's about it. You like rice and beans, okay? That's about it. Yeah, I'm like, we can't do that. So we're climbing the mountain, but at least we're not drowning. At least we're not drowning, but we're climbing the mountain. But it's tough. Oh my God, this is the toughest things I've had to deal with in my life. Just keeping him alive. Yeah, full time job.
Well, it's something for both of you to look forward to, and hopefully it'll be something that because he was so interested in it before, that it engages him and continues to keep his interest. Because I see where, you know, stuff like boxing or you know, sports in general, but I think particularly like martial arts, you know, there's a discipline involved in that, and
exactly.
You have to have the buy-in. You really have to, because you can't be like, oh, I think I like that, I want to learn how to, you know, fight like Bruce Lee. But Bruce Lee was also incredibly disciplined for him to do the things that he did. And I think that's a story kind of like, you know, we have some of our callers who always wonder how, you know, people who have done really well, all you see is that end of it, but they don't always see,
it's tough.
Beforehand everyone was a hot mess, and that's why they are so successful, that they had to have some crisis point that said, I've got to change, something's got to change, and I guess it's got to be me.
Absolutely. You hit it on, you so hit it so precisely. And even yesterday, he didn't want to get his hair cut. I'm like, you got to get your hair cut. He did, like, the trainer was kind, like, they put him with a tougher trainer so that they wouldn't be so soft on him, because he gets away with murder. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't, you know, I don't like so and so. Can we go home now? And I'm like, oh. So it was tough, and I'm so fragile at this point that I had to really just, you know, walk away and just pray and whatever. He walked out of there with a smile on his face yesterday, and we'll see what happens today. So,
right.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm like, it's this or juvie, pick one.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's
tough.
It's
really hard.
I mean, and in some cases, I mean, gosh, and I know I've said this story before where, you know, I got put into a program. It was one of those pilot programs for, you know, for all the nerds to do more school.
Martin Gifted. Yeah, just say what it is. We know what it is. Talented and gifted. You know, go ahead.
Gifted and talented.
Gifted and talented.
It was,
I knew it was one of those. Okay, you corrected
it
me.
It was the
Sorry.
First program. It was one of the, because that's how old it is. It's one of those, hey, this is new. We're going to do this something new. And I was definitely intimidated by everybody who was there. And they were all different students from different schools in the area. We went met once a week. And
right.
You know, boss would come up and pick us up from our schools, and we spent the day there and learned different things. And I was just so intimidated by everybody. And they weren't all the same grade. They had us all, and then they kind of divvied us up according to our grade. But we all kind of stayed in the same area, same room. And,
oh wow!
And I just didn't know if I was supposed to be there. And I remember asking, you know, not even asking my mom to take me out of it, but I think she was asking me about it. And I didn't have such a positive, like, oh, I loved it. I was more afraid, I think, and unsure of myself. And she just, you know, she just, every time I had something, you know, like I wasn't a glowing report or whatever, she just said, well, just give it, you know, just go one more week. Just one more time.
Yeah,
just
good.
Try it one more time. And
yeah.
So, like, you know, a whole year passes, and it's just one more time. And
yeah.
By then, of course, I'd figured it all out, or I had gotten comfortable enough with the people there that, yeah, obviously I stuck with it. Because I also saw the opportunities. There are other people in my class, in that special class, that, you know, everyone had to take a certain test. So a lot of people took the test, and not everyone was asked to participate beyond that. So some of the ones that had taken the test and were asked to participate, I remember them from just regular school. And, you know, they didn't like stand out to me necessarily, you know, grade-wise or anything. They didn't stand out to me. I knew of them. But when they were in this program, because of the attention they got, they really did well. Like they shined. And, in fact, I'm thinking of one person who she couldn't spell to save her life. And but she did, she got into this program, I want to say by this point, maybe, I don't know if it was middle school or elementary school, but she graduated early from high school.
What?
So she went that route. I mean, I think her mother was a teacher, too. I'm like, maybe that's how she got in. But it didn't matter because got in to me.
Right.
She got in, and she took advantage of that program, and she got the grade she needed to get. She did really well.
Wow.
And she decided to finish up early and graduate early. She took that route. And so I looked at that thinking, well, man, why don't we just do this for everybody? Because it seems to me like if you get this kind of attention.
Thank you.
Why,
I know.
You know,
it's so divisive. Yeah.
Right. And I get, you know, now I get, you know, not everyone is made to be in this system.
Absolutely.
But
clearly,
more often than not, you'll get more people who will at least stay engaged and probably – get over, like, no, this person, like I said, she couldn't spell well. She was not a good speller. And to me, man, I'm like, I agonize over misspelled words, you know?
Yes.
But that's not the only indicator of anything.
That's right.
So you can spell well, you know, but whatever. So she got over that. And I just thought, wow, so many other kids would do so, so well in school. They would actually enjoy it if we had this particular break in the day from whatever, you know, memorizing we had to do or facts and figures, all that stuff, you know.
Right.
If we were able to put it in a different environment. And there weren't a lot of us in there. So all those benefits of having, you know, smaller classrooms, you know, smaller class sizes, not smaller classrooms. Here's a closet. Smaller class sizes. And then just the approach. So, you know, I look at your son, and yeah, no doubt he's brilliant. He's very smart. But if he's not kept engaged, or if he's easily distracted, which is the same thing, not engaged and easily distracted.
Exactly. There you go. That's it.
Then it's easy to just, you know, go down a different path and like you said, just completely miss your potential. Or just be stuck, you know, learn a lot, so many things that people are good at, but some of the things we have to learn along the way, things like critical thinking, and decision making.
Yep.
We kind of leave it to other people when there are times when it really is, it has to be our decision. It can't be decide, oh, well, so-and-so made me do it, because that can't be the cop-out. You know, that can't be the reason why things don't work out, because
right.
so-and-so said it was supposed to be this way, and I believe that person.
Right.
But it wasn't
right.
your choice.
Right.
You know, you were kind of doing it kicking and screaming. So more and more aware of that and seeing it not only just with people who are younger than me, but people who are older, who are so used to deferring to other people. And I'm like, but this is not what you want. If it's not what you want, then why are you getting it? Because somebody else wants it. You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Now we have a hand raised, by the way. So
let's take it.
Get over here. Let's see. Area code 203. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Hi, this is Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
We're doing well.
Yeah. So I believe we spoke with you, but a very long time ago.
I can't really remember if it was. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a very. Yeah, I feel that if it was, it was a very long time ago. So let's pretend that this is the first time. So I'm going to ask for permission to connect to your energy, please.
Sure.
Okay. And if you can give Elisa your date of birth, just the month and the day.
July 19th.
Okay, great. And what's going on?
I just wanted to ask what you see for my love life, specifically with me and a man named Kyle moving forward into the future.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything going on? Is there anything or any impact with an ex on either side? I feel like there's another person floating around that maybe in the past might have made an impact. I don't know, but I'm getting like it's not. The situation isn't just, or it could be kids. It's more than just like the two of you in terms of the energy around this. Am I picking up on that correctly? There is?
Yes.
Okay.
He got divorced like a little over a year ago.
There you go. Yep, I saw her.
And she's still like in his life.
Yep.
They don't have children, but and it's
not
a romantic connection,
but
it's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's, I don't know if they're still friends.
It's hard
to completely let go.
Yeah,
because
the first thing when you said love life, I'm like, there's an ex floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and I that's why I said impact of other people because I want to not lead the conversation. You know, so I just knew that it wasn't just. Clean with the two of you. There's something going. My first impression was X, but it could be children. It could be this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that's exactly my feeling. And I also felt that the X was on his side. So you confirmed that as well. What I'm getting is that he, God bless him, that he really wants to keep the peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes, and it's kind of, I'm getting like a sweeter energy from him. Like some men, I can feel like an aggressive energy. I'm not saying he's not aggressive, but I think more sweet than that. Like that, let me know. Like like there's like a teddy bear kind of vibe to him. I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. And that. Okay. And what? And I don't know if this is accurate, but what the energy that I'm feeling is that. It's almost like women are so complex to him, like they're so like 10 steps ahead of him that it's almost like an alien from another race. Like, oh, this is really I wish I could figure these beings out because damn, they're complicated. Maybe I'll just better keep my mouth shut. Maybe if I just keep my mouth shut, then they'll work it out because it's too complicated for me and also just not wanting to, I think there might be a little residual guilt with the kids. So wanting to kind of keep everything as.
Well, they don't have kids.
Why am I getting kids?
Well, she had a miscarriage.
Oh,
there
you go. Okay.
But he does feel like guilty, like he's
thank
told
you.
Me
okay.
that.
Okay, because I got, see, and the thing is, in spirit, thank you for confirming that, and she might have, and I don't know anything about this girl, but she might have had an abortion. That just came out of my mouth without even thinking. She might have had that, maybe not by him, or there's something going on with that. That just came out of my mouth spontaneously. That's weird. That's weird. Mm. I don't know. I can't. I'm not claiming that. That just popped out of my mouth. But I got the energy of children, and in spirit, even miscarried children, they're still, they made that choice to, you know, come into this physical experience, even in an embryonic form, and for whatever reason. So I felt that there was children between them. And it's interesting, I'm not saying a child, I'm saying children, but so let's say the energy of children. I'll say it like that. And whether it was early on or further along, a miscarriage is a miscarriage is a miscarriage is a miscarriage. I mean, it really depends on who is experiencing that, who, how they're hardwired as a human being. Some people just, boom, they have five more kids. They don't even think about it. No biggie. Other people, it cripples them for the rest of their life until they can move forward in ways that can embrace that scar tissue, so to speak, because it does become scar tissue. It does damage the DNA. And I feel that we have to be very aware that our DNA is in constant flux. So we need to be very protective, that it's something very live and very active. So, yeah, there's a sense of, you know, and you feel so out of control when you lose a child like that, or you lose a child in any shape or form. You feel completely out of control to various degrees, depending on the severity and the impact of that experience. But it's interesting because I said there's guilt around the children. So there, so it must be the energy of that lost child, but that may be that he wants to feel that he's treading lightly. Now, why am I getting, and it could be somebody passed, I don't know, because I don't think it's a name that you said. Why am I getting the name Chris? Is there a Chris anywhere?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, write
but...
that down and remember that, okay? And if just I'm getting the that name, I don't know what that means, so just file that. So to go back to your and it might occur to you, but just file that. But to go back to your question, he's your guy is just really, he means so well, and he's really, the waters are muddied, not so much by him, but it's, and not even, I'm not even feeling like the ex is a threat so much. It's almost like the little kid that thinks things will go away if they just cover their eyes with their hands, or the ostrich, if I just put my head in the sand, it's all going to go away. So there are some issues that need to be dealt with. So you have a choice, you know. You can just be like, this does not belong to me, and as long as he treats me well and we're happy and it's not that complicated, it's not that deep, there, I feel no threat here. You could sort of ride it out. Or if it's, or if it's really getting your attention, if you're feeling really uncomfortable, that source's way of getting your attention. And then that means there's something that needs to be looked at within yourself to see what's being triggered here. Do I have abandonment issues from growing up or what have you? I don't know. So that's something. So it really is your choice how you choose to look at this. But in what I'm picking up energetically, I don't really see a threat on anybody's end right now. Your imagination might make you a little crazy, but I don't see a serious. Let's say a serious threat. A serious threat. Okay, let's say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think. Like, I honestly haven't really felt, like, threatened by her because
I don't think
because he's reassured me, like, that ship has sailed.
Yes.
He's been open. He's been open with me about, like, yeah, we're still in contact.
Doubting that,
and she, he actually was giving her dating advice. Like, I think he just honestly feels bad for her. And like you said,
yeah,
like you were picking up. Like,
yeah. All that makes sense.
He's just like a good person. He wants
yep.
to keep the peace.
So
and
why?
Like, because, you know.
So if you know this, why call us? There's what brought your attention to call us then? Because I agree with you.
He also explained to me that he is terrified to get into another relationship because I think he's scared that it's going to fail again.
You got to leave him. Listen, I'm somebody. Let me tell you something. I'm going to cut you off for a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's terrified because there's still a little trauma. And you have to be patient with him. I'm in the same boat, okay? My divorce isn't final yet. And anytime anyone says, oh, you got a date, I projectile vomit. I'm like, get away! So it has nothing to do with you. He has a little, very minor PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big investment.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like if you love this guy and you love being with him, love being in the present moment. If you get into future and all of that, we spoke earlier in the show about personal space, and there's there's a zone. There's just a zone of where things are comfortable, and then there's a zone where it's like I have to just protect myself because I'm so raw, vulnerable, and fragile. And I will purposely walk out of my way to not run into people. And I live in New York, so it's like that's hard to do. I will just like, let me find another corner that I can just hide in this crowd. So I get that because it takes energy. And the thing is, he doesn't want to mislead, give false promises. And the thing is, if you think of a miscarriage is a broken promise, you know, in a way, symbolically. A miscarriage is really something that wasn't carried all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree that how it consciously or unconsciously affected them, it's a little PTSD. So it is. So it's to be aware of that and maybe look at him like he has a minor disability. So in the same way that you wouldn't take somebody's cane away from them, you know what I mean? Give him that energetic cane of love and support. That's why I cut you off, because I really didn't. It's not about focusing on the story. It's more about focusing on the energy. So it's not that I'm being rude. It's just to redirect the energy to the highest vibration possible for you. And I'm going to turn this over to Elisa to see what she got from your from your personal year. But it's going to be okay.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Well, you're definitely in a nine year. So in numerology, we go through these cycles, one through nine. It's just a period of 9 years. So each year you kind of build on something. And in the 9 year, obviously that's that tail end of this whole period of growth and expansion for you. So you're about to finish it up. So nine is about the bigger picture, endings and conclusions. And so it's like you come to this idea or a realization of who you are now and all the things you've gone through and things that you want to move forward with you. And then some things you're just ready to drop, but you're just done. So this year has been about letting go, whether it's people or places or ideas and ways of thinking. You're doing all these things. And some of it you're ready to do. Some of it may be a little harder to do because you're not quite ready to let go, but it's like it's time. So this period is probably one of those periods, and in particular with your question of, you know, just asking about this guy, is like, you know, how are you in relationship to him? And I think all the things that Liz just brought up with, is it really about him or is it about you and some of your own issues with, with whatever, usually it's abandonment or something like that, but not to be taken lightly, but I think because it's coming up in this period, it means because you're ready to look at it. And you're not going to be so tied to it that it's like, it's going to devastate you, because I think you've already done that. Whatever was really hurting, if it's kind of uncomfortable now, it's because, okay, you've probably accepted most of it and you're looking at it. But this period, here we are in May, your birthday's coming up in a couple of months, then that last little bit, and there's never like a, it's not like hard and fast, like, oh, 19th on July 19th is what, you know, you're done and you move into this number 1 year. Cause what you're doing is you're emerging into, expressing fully who you are now. And that's going to come up in that 1 year where you have all these other possibilities and you're ready, like you're free. you're feeling lighter and lighter. You're just looking forward to something new and you're going to generate that. But this period is still like that transition period, that last little bit. So, I mean, not that everything has to be about this relationship, but you know, you called and that's the one thing you asked about. And I think with him, it's, you see a lot of it because there's still like that transition of he ended something, he's starting something new, but there's still some stuff that is still tied to this past relationship. So it's sort of a mirror for you to see how compassionate can you be given the circumstances, knowing what you know, feeling what you feel. How compassionate can you be not only with him and that relationship, but also with yourself when it comes to having to move on and making some decisions and not like life-changing big decisions, although that's part of it, but sometimes it's every day, like, how are you going to spend your time? Who do you want to spend your time with? You know, every day, that kind of thing. So, because it's the little things. It's usually not the big gestures, but it's the little things that you remember that have an impact, because it shows consistency in how somebody is, whether that's you or somebody else. But know that people have the capacity to change. And you can tell when the change is genuine and you're like, wow, that person's really trying to do it. Or I'm recognizing that I'm really doing something here. I'm changing for me. And it's not even for you. When you realize it's a personal change, it's more of this stuff is coming up and it's been a part of me for a long time. It's not just changing necessarily. It just means that you're dealing with your own stuff differently, but it's also you. So, you know, you don't have to explain it to anybody else, but you have to integrate that information within yourself so that when you're going forward, it's just free and clear and light and fun and the energy that you know to be you at your best. That's what you want to bring forward as much as possible. But when stuff is kind of blocking it, you have to pay attention to those blocks because that's also a part of you until you don't want it to be a part of you anymore. If that makes sense. So this period is being able to let go. It's a big period. Every year is a big year, right? But this is saying I'm ready to let myself shine, and I have to love these parts of me that I haven't really spent a lot of time loving or acknowledging. Because it's made me who I am.
Exactly.
And I think showing that compassion for, usually when you do it for somebody else, it may help you then to say, I need to do this for me. But it could be you do it for yourself and you also do it for somebody else. Because people are always going through their stuff, you know. And it sounds like, you know, it sounds like that's what you're trying to do. Like you're giving him the benefit of the doubt. But you're wanting to see how this relationship with him moves forward. But knowing that it's tied to some other stuff. So kind of uncomplicating it in a way and looking at it from a different perspective, putting yourself in those shoes can help you for you, not to expect him to do something, but how would you do it? And that just gives you, it allows you to be closer to who you are and acknowledging all of those things, your capacity to have a big heart or your capacity to understand. But also it shows you what your boundaries are. Like, well, I can understand that, but I wouldn't go beyond this.
Right.
And having these kinds of conversations are important, because that way, it sounds like you and he can be on that same page, because you're understanding where he's coming from, and he also has to understand where you're coming from. Because if you want to take it to the next level, I have a feeling you could if you really wanted to. And it's just a matter of timing and how patient
you
are.
Just leave it. But for right now, hot stove, leave it. Leave it.
I mean, because, and I've been like, you know, been there for him. I'm like,
of course,
as much as like he's opened up to me a lot. But you know, there's obviously more going on with him that he hasn't like fully shared, and that's fine. But I've like reassured him, like, I'm there for you and all this
that's
and that.
It.
One major thing is that like, I haven't seen him since February. So I brought that up to him, and he's definitely been a little bit avoidant because he's in a confusing place.
Is it a long distance relationship?
No.
Oh, okay.
He lives like a half hour from me. But he's just you know, he's just expressed like he's in a confusing place. And
yeah.
I think because of that, he was like unintentionally, not trying to be like rude, but it's just hard for himself because I feel like he feels that like pressure to move forward with things.
Yeah, I would step back.
The more we hang out.
Let him. I have to actually, we have to sign off the show because we're a little over time, but let me just say this to you. Turn the boat around, meaning focus on yourself. Remember all the things that Elisa said to you. I suggest downloading the show so you could hear both of our readings for you.
Mm-hmm.
And let it occur, because, you know, it takes him a minute. Let it occur to him, oh, maybe we should get together. Let it occur
yeah.
to him. Live your life.
Exactly.
Live your
yeah,
life.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
what
I suggest. Love yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself
yeah.
because that's the blueprint. That's the energetic signature and blueprint that you're wanting. And what better place to start than with yourself?
Yeah.
And either
yeah,
people
and
will sign on with that, they'll accept it, they'll be in agreement with it, or they will not. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my ex is not in agreement with me loving myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why I'm traumatized, and I will be shocked if I ever get into a relationship ever again. So I relate to your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big time. I relate. When
yeah.
I relate, and it has nothing to do with these poor innocent people that will
yeah.
never, you know, see me undressed. Anyway, nothing. yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. And that's just how a
yeah.
girl feels. That's just how a girl feels right now. Doesn't mean I doubt
yeah.
that's going to change, because right now I'm very shell shocked. So I get where your guy is coming from. I get it better
yeah.
than I wish I could, but I get
mm-hmm.
it, and has nothing
yeah.
to do with other people. So love yourself.
Yeah.
Love yourself,
yeah.
and you know what? He knows where to find you, and you've made it clear.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's like
exactly.
He doesn't need any help understanding what it was that you were communicating to him. So
exactly.
So message
yeah.
sent. It's like when you
yeah.
send the email, you send the email. When you planted the seed, you're not digging in the dirt to be like, did it grow? Did it grow? Did it take root? Did it take? Leave it.
Yeah. Yeah,
leave
no,
it.
Exactly. And like
yeah.
you kind of left things off as like, okay, yep, you're not ready for all this. And
yep.
he was like, I'll let, you know, he's like, I need time to like think.
So give him time.
Kind of
and
move on
you.
Living my life.
And if you meet somebody else,
said,
oh, well.
And he's like, I'll reach. Yeah, no, exactly. I'm going to continue
real.
To live my life.
Yeah.
And in the meantime,
right.
you know, he said, you know, I'll reach out, like, you know, if that, like, changes. But, like, right
all
now,
right.
he's
well, okay,
time
so,
himself.
All right. Noncommittal is my middle name. Okay, fine. Him. So, all right. Message received. Whether it hurts
yeah.
or whatever, message received. Okay? So you have energetically received the message. And now it's time for you to think of what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And remember,
yeah.
we're going to have to sign off, remember the name Chris, because I'd love to know what that's
yeah.
all about. Remember the name
yeah.
Chris. Call us back. And you're on the right track. You wouldn't have called us if you weren't ready to hear what we had to say. So
mm-hmm.
download
yeah.
the show and really hear what both of us said. And also, I am of the belief that the show and the readings are energetically encoded to always be live every time you listen. Like, there's healing energy underneath that between what Elisa
mm-hmm.
says and what I say. So it's just, even if you just have it in the background, it will help and support you. And
okay.
keep us posted. Good luck. But yeah, you know what
okay.
you know what you need to do. You know exactly what you need to do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. I'm so glad you called.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Take care.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
So let's sign off because I got to go. Ooh, have to be someplace.
Okay.
Okay. So that was such an interesting call. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad she called. So, and who's Chris? So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook. Check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thank you for the safe space, for support and healing. And as always, to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Take care, guys. Bye.
You too. Bye.